This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, we are always asked to reflect upon what shall we prepare for tomorrow? What will we leave for our children? What will we do in our old age? In our day and age, the concept of halal investments has risen and everyone is talking about it. How does one put their wealth in such that it will grow and expand in a halal manner so that when they get older and when they need it, they can benefit from it? They generally propose two questions. Number one, what will suffice you in your old age? Meaning, when you are not able to work, how will you support yourself? This is how they instigate the thought for preparing for your old age. And then they ask you, what will your children do? What will your offspring do when you get old and they need money? And this is how they start support funds for your children. And not only this, our government even encourages this. When you suffice and invest in your RSP, your Registered Retirement Savings Plan, the government gives you a tax deduction. And likewise, when you invest in the education of your children, in your RESP, the Registered Education Savings Plan, the government gives you a further tax deduction. Brothers and sisters, our society is not the only one that asks us to think about the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also asks you to think about the future when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. That, O you who believe, let every soul look forth to that, let every soul look forward, or let him look forward to what he has put forth for tomorrow. And let every soul reflect what he will put forth for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, this is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that each and everyone needs to think about. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about tomorrow, it doesn't just mean in this dunya. It doesn't mean just your old age. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about your akhirah as well. The greatest of investments are those that have the greatest returns. And those investments that you have to do a little, yet you get a lot in return. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that when we part from this dunya, three things will follow us. He said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتُ ثَلَاثًا أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ فَيَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدٌ فَيَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that three things follow a dead person. His family will follow him. His wealth will follow him, and his actions that he put forth will follow him. Two of them will return, meaning they will be of no benefit, and only one shall remain. His family shall return, his wealth shall return, and his actions shall stay with him. Brothers and sisters, actions are of two types. Those that whose reward will only be a one-time thing, and it will only benefit ourselves, such as the learning how to pray properly. This is something which will only benefit ourselves. And learning how to make wudu and hajj and siyam properly, this is something that will only benefit ourselves in this life and in the hereafter as well. But there are certain actions that a person will do once, and they will continuously benefit him as well. And this is an action with a great return. When we're talking about investments, this is the investment that you want to seek. Something that you do once, and it continues to benefit you over a period of time. And brothers and sisters, this is the greatest of halal investments. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, سَبْعٌ يَجْرِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَجْرَهُنَّ وَهُوَ فِي قَبْرِهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ مَنْ عَلَّمَ إِلْمًا أَوْ أَجَرَ نَحْرًا أَوْ حَفَرَ بِعْرًا أَوْ غَرَسَ نَخْلًا أَوْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا أَوْ وَرَّثَ مُصْحَفًا أَوْ تَرَكَ وَلَدًا صَالِحًا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. That Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say that seven things, their good deeds will continue to benefit the dead person in his grave even after his death. He who taught someone knowledge, or he who facilitated the pass of a river, or he who dug up a grave, who dug up a well so that the people can benefit from it, or he who planted a tree so that the people can benefit from its fruits, or he who built a masjid for the people to pray in, or he who left behind a copy of the Quran for the people to recite and to read and to reflect over and to implement, or he who left a righteous child so that after his death he will seek forgiveness for him. Brothers and sisters, this is the investment that you want to seek. A one-time action that you can perform, and it will continuously benefit you over and over and over and over again. And when you show up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you see this mountain of knowledge, and you see this mountain of great reward, you will then remember that even though this action may have been little, it is the continuous reward that Allah gave me over time that will benefit me today. Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us is afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is afraid of showing up in front of Him, having very little actions to put forth. These are the actions that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has commanded us to reflect over and to eventually do. So let us take a look at them one by one. Firstly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man 'allama 'ilman," that the person who taught another person knowledge. And this is truly where you see the great station of the scholars and the callers of Islam have in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their daily responsibility, guiding the people to Islam, guiding the people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guiding the people to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from His slaves and selected them to have continuous reward, not only in this life, but in the hereafter as well. So any knowledge that you may have, be hasty and be enthusiastic in teaching it to others. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ, that convey from me even if it is just one ayah. Brothers and sisters, you do not know. You do not know, one day you may teach a young child how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. And then when he grows older, and he continues to pray, and he recites properly, along with him getting his reward, you will get yours as well. Through this one action, just through teaching Surah Al-Fatiha, 17 times a day, at the very least, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, you will be getting reward from this child. And likewise, when you encourage a person to fast Ramadan, and to go for Hajj, and to give his zakah, every time they do this action, you will be getting reward for it. And thus we see the great station of the ulama and the callers of Islam, that their daily responsibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them so much reward. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two things, and they go hand in hand. أَوْ أَجْرَ نَحْرًا أَوْ حَفَرَ بِعْرًا, that he facilitated the path of a river. Meaning that sometimes water, you know, alhamdulillah, we live in the city, our water comes from our taps, and it is something very facilitated for us. But for those who live in the country, sometimes it is very difficult to get water. And sometimes the water is blocked off so that it may not reach you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says over here, that he who facilitates the coming of water to the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward every time people drink for it. And likewise, he who makes a well for the people to benefit from, each and every time a person drinks from that well, the person who did this action will get the reward for it. Brothers and sisters, do not belittle small acts of charity. Sometimes we may see a person standing, or especially at iftar time, there is limited amount of glasses, and you're thirsty, and you see your brother next to you, and there's only one glass for the both of you. What do? Do you take the glass first and drink it yourself? Or do you offer it to your brother? Brothers and sisters in Islam, Islam gives you more rewards the more you struggle. And do not belittle small acts of charity. So the act of giving someone water can even grant you Jannah. There are two specific hadith narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both are similar. One of them was that a woman who was evil, she used to commit evil and lewd deeds, and people used to think of her that she will not go to paradise. But she decided one day, as she was going by, she saw a thirsty dog. So she said, let me give water to this dog. So she gave water to this dog, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her paradise. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the example of another man, a very similar situation. He's passing by a well, and he's thirsty. So he goes into the well and takes out its water. And he drinks from it and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as he's about to leave, he sees this dog with his tongue sticking out. And it's craving water. It's craving something to drink. So he takes his shoe and fills it up with water and gives it to the dog. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him for all of his sins and enters him into paradise. Now brothers and sisters, if this is for the one who went into the well and gave it to someone else, how about for the person who built this well for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Each and every time, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you Jannah, then He raises your rank in Jannah, then He includes you amongst the Salihin, then amongst the Shuhada, and then amongst the Anbiya and Mursaleen. Just through the small act of building a well and giving the people water. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, أَوْ غَرَسَ نَحْلًا, or plants a tree that the people can benefit from. As we know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loves dates. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives the parable of a believer, He gives the parable of a believer as the date palm tree. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically says over here, and he who plants a date tree for the people to benefit from. Now, it may not be the case in our society, but the date palm tree has many benefits. One, when you're in the desert, when you're in the heat, you will need a shade. The date palm tree is perfect for that. Its leaves are long, and it expands, and it's really high, so it will protect you the vast majority of the time. And likewise, this date palm tree, it gives off dates, not only so that human beings can benefit from, but likewise the animals and the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So brothers and sisters, again, do not belittle charity. Feed the people. If you cannot plant and you cannot harvest so that people can continuously benefit from it, then at least invite the people to your houses and let them have iftar with you and let them have dinner with you and continuously feed them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the first advices that he gave to the people when he came to Medina, he advised them that feed the people your food, meaning that share your food with the people. This was one of the very first advices that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the people when he came to Medina. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention in this beautiful hadith, أَوْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا, that he built a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that he who builds a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a house in Jannah. Brothers and sisters, the masajid are the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In it, people come to pray. In it, people come to recite the Quran. In it, people come to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in it, eventually, it becomes a social atmosphere. We will have our aqiqahs in the masjid. We will have our walimas in the masjid. And we will have other social gatherings in the masjid. And all this is through seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine a masjid that thousands and hundreds of people come to. And you built that masjid. Each and every single person that comes to pray, that reward is yours. Each and every time, even after your death, that masjid will be used. Hundreds and thousands, maybe even millions of people may come to that masjid. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessitate and obligate you to build a masjid on your own. But sometimes give $5. Sometimes you can give 10. Sometimes you can give 100. Whatever you may give. Brothers and sisters, the masajid are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are guests in them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ennoble the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you have an opportunity to build a masjid or to help a masjid, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let your charity go to waste. Even if it is small, just be consistent in it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you immensely. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, أَوَّرَّثَ مُصْحَفًا, or left behind him a copy of the Qur'an that someone would read. And how many copies of the Qur'an do we have? Brothers and sisters, use your copies of the Qur'an wisely. If you're not reading it yourself, give it to someone who will read it. And if you don't know someone who will read it, then at least come and put it in the masjid. On Fridays, people come to the masjid early and they recite the Qur'an. Now imagine if they pick up your Qur'an and recite from it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that in every letter of the Qur'an is 10 rewards. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to say that I do not mean that alif lam mim is one word, but rather alif is one letter, and lam is one letter, and mim is one letter. So for each letter that is recited, you are getting 10 rewards. Now this is for the one who is reciting it. And likewise, for the one who provided the mushaf to read from. Brothers and sisters, another small act that you can do. Buy a copy of the Qur'an, put it into the masjid, give it to someone. Better yet, teach your children how to recite it, and understand it, and implement it. And that reward will be yours even after your death. And then the Prophet ﷺ ends off this beautiful hadith by saying, أَوْ تَرَكَ وَلَدًا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ, or he leaves a child who will seek forgiveness for him even after his death. And brothers and sisters, this is the greatest investment out of them all. And the reason I say this is because its benefits are not only while you are alive, but likewise even after your death. When you give proper tarbiyah to your children, they will take care of you in your old age. When you give proper tarbiyah to your children, they will be hasty and enthusiastic in asking about your health and asking you if you need anything and taking care of all of your needs. And this is in the dunya. Now in the akhirah, after you have passed away, they are the ones who will come and seek forgiveness for you. They are the ones who will beg and plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please forgive my mother and my father. And they are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells them in the Qur'an, Ya Allah, have mercy upon them, as they used to have mercy upon me when I was little. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands each and every individual with. That seek forgiveness for your parents and say, Ya Allah, have mercy upon them as they used to have mercy upon me when I was a child. Brothers and sisters, the investments in this life are many. There are those investments that we benefit from in the dunya, and those investments that we benefit from in the akhirah. And there are even those investments that are continuous even after our death, like I mentioned today. It is up to you to decide what you will do with your time, with your money, and with your life. And I leave you with this small reflection. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of generations, the best of mankind after the prophets, how were they with their money? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, and then there are those people who come to you wanting to go out with you, Ya Muhammad. There are those people who want to go with on the expeditions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they could not afford it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe them. وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. And their eyes used to flood up with tears. They used to flood up with tears, brothers and sisters, because they could not find anything to give. They could not find anything. If they wanted to give even the clothes on their body, they were not able to do so. So some of them had already given away their tops and they only had their bottoms left. These were the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what made them great. That even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a little, they always strived to benefit others as well. And indeed, in the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have a great example. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, the last 10 nights are soon coming upon us. In these last 10 nights is the greatest of nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this one night the equivalent of 1,000 months. And thus the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights. Brothers and sisters, there are certain advices that each and everyone needs to remember and implement during these last 10 nights. Firstly, imagine you have 83 years of your life in your hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it all to you in one night. Any act of ibadah that you do on one night will be the equivalent of 83 years of doing it. So imagine the smallest acts of charity, whatever it may be. Imagine praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just 2 rak'ahs that very night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is the equivalent of 1,000 months. Thus the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever stands Laylatul Qadr in prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive each and every sin that he has committed. Brothers and sisters, in this last 10 nights, devote yourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are able to take vacation from work, now is the time to do it. If you are able to take time away from your families, now is the time to do it and devote yourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, another companion, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tighten his belt during this month. That meaning he would be more enthusiastic in doing good deeds and he would devote himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Such that during the last 10 nights, he would stay in i'tikaf, meaning that he would stay in the masjid throughout the days and the nights. Now this may not be a possibility for all of us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not obligate this upon us. But no, brothers and sisters, any time that you can give, any time that you can spend, an hour, 2 hours, a day, a night, a weekend, whatever the case may be, spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you don't know, you may just catch Laylatul Qadr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for your sins. Now people often ask, what should we ask for on Laylatul Qadr? What should we do on Laylatul Qadr? These last 10 nights are for praying and for making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already mentioned a hadith pertaining to salah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I find out which day Laylatul Qadr is upon, what should I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to teach her one very small yet powerful dua. And that was, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. That, O Allah, you are the pardoning and you love to pardon, so pardon me. Three small aspects. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. That, O Allah, you are the pardoner and you love to pardon, so pardon me. Brothers and sisters, in these last 10 nights, seek forgiveness and pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon you and forgive you for all the sins that you have committed, the small of them and the big of them, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most compassionate and the most merciful. And I end off my khutbah today commanding you and reminding you with a great commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with Himself and then the angels and then all of mankind when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم أقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغ به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل هذه الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معاذنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك ولا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقيم الصلاة